Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, hello and welcome to another edition of the Real Estate Sales Show. This is episode number 8, I think now. I've got to tell you, it's exciting. We've had over 7,000 downloads, which means that people from all over the country are really kind of tuning in and enjoying the information that we're presenting on a weekly basis. If you haven't already heard last week's show, it featured an individual by the name of Scott Alejo who get this, literally went from earning $500 a month, right? Eating Cheetos and bonbons on his couch at 1 a.m, walking into the office at 11 a.m, to 2.5 years later, creating an income of over $375,000 a year, simply by changing his confidence, his mindset, his belief system in himself, and focusing on helping other people achieve what they want. And my friends, I gotta tell you, I'm excited about this week's show, because it's a great honor to introduce to you probably one of the nicest people I know, one of the most impactful people that I know. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary Acosta, founder of the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. Say hello, Gary.
Good morning, Danny. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here for a lot of different reasons. You're one of the few people, Gary, that I have ever met that literally within 30 minutes kind of, well, not even 30 minutes, you had me at hello. You know what I mean?
you really did. Well, that's a big statement coming from you, my friend.
You know, I remember, you know, walking into the room saying, all right, what's this DA rep stuff all about, right? And then literally within a minute, I was just like, okay, I'm in. This guy is just awesome, right?
I remember that.
Yeah. So Gary, let's start with this. I'm a big vision guy. And at some point in time, here you are, you're in the mortgage business, I believe. You're a young man at the time, right? Not that you're any different now.
I was a much younger man,
there
sure.
There you go. You were a much younger man. And you had a vision, and that vision is now one of the largest trade organizations in the country called NAREP. Where did the vision come from, and how did you take that from vision to reality? Let's start with that.
Well, I'll tell you, Danny, I was very lucky. I was one of the people who grew up with parents that actually convinced me that I could do anything. Mm. You know, a lot of people say it. You know, a lot of people tell their kids that, but very few of them actually convince them of that. So I had that, and that was really a blessing. So I always had that growing up. So when I was a younger entrepreneur, a little bit like yourself, not quite as dynamic, but a little bit like yourself, aspirational, I was probably in my mid-30s. I had a small mortgage banking firm. And I had this big idea to turn my company into something special. Go from a mortgage banker specifically to a mortgage broker to a mortgage banker, right? That was the vision that I had. But I didn't have anybody to kind of call. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody around me who had done that before. So I really was sort of flying blind a little bit. And I had this great friend by the name of Ernie Reyes who passed away a couple of years ago. And he was sort of a mentor to me. And he was always talking to me about politics and about the Latino community. He had a great political background. And we, during a series of conversations, discussed, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was an organization where people like myself would be able to make connections, be able to find mentors, be able to find information to do great things with our business. That was my motivation. Ernie's motivation was more political. Mm-hmm. Together, someday, we just decided to take that leap of faith. We didn't really know what to expect from that. You know, a lot of great things are created because people just take that leap of faith. That's what we did. We got very lucky along the way, encountered some really exceptional people. But once we started it, I was all in. You described being all in. I see you with your business, you know, and it's not just something that you do. It is part of the fabric of who you are as a person. And I had the same sort of commitment to NAREP, and, you know, we're blessed to have it where it is today.
Fantastic. And where is it today? Give our listeners an idea of, you know, the scope of the organization?
Yeah, so NARP is the largest minority trade association in the country. Mm-hmm. Has about 25,000 individual members, real estate agents, brokers, people in the mortgage industry. Anyone in the housing industry can be a member of our association. We have 45 local chapters right now throughout the country. We probably have another 15 that'll be added on this year. But that only gives you, you know, a very brief outline of the organization. If you've ever attended a national conference, if you've ever seen us in Washington, D.C., we are rapidly becoming one of the most influential players in the housing industry, as well as the business industry overall.
Right. And you know, if you don't mind me asking, Gary, I believe you're a part of some pretty important boards as well. Is that correct?
I have been. So, you know, I was on the advisory board for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for several years, and I was on the inaugural board for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, Ooh. The big regulatory body. Yeah, I know.
That's like a bad word in our industry.
Well, when I describe it, I say, hey, you can't blame me for it. It was just, it was a great opportunity to sort of be there at the ground floor level and see that organization become built. And like it or not, it is a big force in our industry. So it was important that NARP had somebody there in the room sort of articulating the priorities of the Latino community in particular. So it was a great opportunity to do that. I chaired the mortgage committee for 1 year as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And what are some of the things that NARP does in order to expose its members to greater thinking, greater possibility?
So, you know, one of the great things that we've learned over time, this didn't happen overnight, is that we try to facilitate, you know, peer-to-peer support, so mastermind groups and so forth throughout the country, because a lot of the best information is already out there. We just need to create a platform so members can get it easily. And a lot of people like yourself are doing great things out there. So we want our members to be able to find access to people who've done it so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. And there's a great sort of synergy that comes from that. But along the way, we also started to think about what role does the organization really need to play in terms of our own, what I call our own original content. Mm. What contribution does the organization add? Because it's one thing just to be a place where people congregate and exchange ideas. It's another thing to be an organization that's actually contributing to the dialogue in a material way. And a couple years ago, we saw some data out there that showed that Latino household wealth had dropped by two-thirds between 2007 and 2012. And we decided to make that our priority as an organization, and that is to increase Hispanic household wealth over the next 10 years. And that's what I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about today.
Absolutely, because it's something that I'm pretty passionate about. Really, I think the purpose of the show is just to help people and help people in our industry in general just be yep. able to accomplish more, you know. Gary, I think so many people are stuck, you know, and they're stuck at a level of production, and it's sometimes tough for them to kind of get past that. And I believe that it's people like yourself with these types of initiatives to get them to see a little bit bigger and possibly even to see and accept a future that they didn't even accept for themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm excited to talk about this, because I remember when I first heard you speak about it, you know, I thought, okay, I want to be a part of this because this is big. So tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, congratulations on what you're building with your company.
Thank you.
Inspired by it every day when I see it, because it's not just another company out there. You're changing lives. You're taking a holistic approach on how you are influencing the people around you. And that's precisely what we need, because it's one thing to just kind of work to try to, you know, make a little bit of extra money. And mm-hmm. I think that people need that. There's no question about that. But there has to be an objective. There has to be a goal. There has to be sort of a bigger picture. And so I always say this. I say Latinos are in this country not because we didn't like the food or the music or the people where we come from. We're in this country for economic opportunity. That's why many of us are here,
yeah.
right? And so let's kind of peel that off and be real with that. And so what we need is we need a plan, right? So what you're doing is tremendous, because you're building careers for people and you're helping them create income and hopefully wealth that they never thought they probably could for themselves. What I think we need is we need sort of a more holistic approach in the way we go about our business. So for example, if you look at data out there, you'll see that Latinos are starting to close the income gap. We're starting to make as much money as the general population, and that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the wealth gap has not closed at all. I mean, we have about one-tenth the wealth of the general population from a household standpoint.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. So one, we're just starting to kind of get our foot in the door when it
Right.
comes to opportunity, businesses, and so forth. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is, again, you talk about mindset, right? So there's no very clear plan. We don't get this education in school. We don't get this education really from anywhere. And that is how important it is to have a long-term plan to create wealth and prosperity for you and your family. So we actually created something called the NARP 10. These are 10 principles that we think are core toward living a prosperous lifestyle. And number one, and here's the biggest one, because if you don't get this one right, Danny, the rest of it doesn't really
It doesn't
matter,
really matter,
right?
right? And
You have.
Gary, can I just because
No, please.
I have one question, because this is an assumption that I had,
Yeah.
and we have a lot of listeners that are obviously not Latino. And so
Sure.
these principles and what you're talking about and what this show is going to be about, like, this is for everybody, obviously. Is that
Absolutely.
okay? Great. Okay,
There's
great.
no question about that.
Fantastic.
So, but there are some elements of it that I think are unique to the Latino community, but
Understood.
it certainly could be applied to a much broader segment of the population. So number one on that is acquiring what I describe as a mature understanding of wealth and prosperity. A mature understanding. And when you grow up in an environment where you don't have a lot of extras, where you don't have wealth around you, you tend to focus on the superficial. And I know you've seen that every day in your business, the people around you. We can make a little bit of money. The first thing we got to do is go get the car.
Go
We
spend
got to
it.
get the watch. We got
Yeah.
to go spend it on the things that are optics, the things that are something that other people can see, right?
Yeah.
And that's a distortion of really what wealth is all about. I love to tell this story, right? Because I have been victimized by this myself, right? So my wife and I, for our 10th wedding anniversary, right? We were doing well in business. We wanted to celebrate that. We bought each other really nice gifts for our wedding anniversary, our 10th one. This is 12 years ago, right? We spent about $20,000 on a watch and a diamond ring. Yeah, we love each other. Want to do something
Yeah, why
special, right?
not?
Why not,
Let's
right?
splurge.
But I did a little research, got a little back research, right? And I thought, well, let's just say that we invested that money instead. And our 10th wedding anniversary was actually the same year that Google went public. So we invested that money into Google stock. It would be worth $400,000 today.
Oof.
If we invested that money in Apple stock, let's just say I was a fan of Apple products. Steve Jobs had just come back. He was the CEO. I believed in that company. It'd be worth over $2 million today.
Wow.
$2 million today, right? So we got to get the right mindset. That's number one.
Okay, everybody.
We got to get our priorities
Yeah,
straight.
that I
That's
mean that example kind of hits like
it.
that one
Absolutely.
right there, because I know, I remember it was really, I mean, I had a financial catastrophe myself, and I accept full responsibility for it. I can't say that I didn't have anybody to teach me. I can't say any of that, because when you're really committed to something, you will find a way, And I remember, Gary, that the primary reason for my financial downfall was the fact that I was just too busy spending money on things to that would cause the world to see me in a certain way.
Right,
And
successful,
that's it.
status.
That's it. And the big shift for me came when I realized that, success is within. To me, success is, how I can contribute to the lives of others. All of that other stuff kind of takes care of itself. So that was a big point, people. I hope you kind of like write that one down and go back and listen
It's a
again.
big point. And number two on the list is, of course, be great at what you do. Be in the top 10% of your profession. I know that in your business and in your office, you want them to even be better than that,
Yeah,
but you got to
now,
be great, right?
yeah.
And
And now you're talking my language, Gary, because
yeah.
I pump my fist because I'm all about, I mean, that's kind of common sense. And what I mean by that, Gary, tell me your thoughts on this, is that if you're going to do anything, win at what you're doing.
Absolutely.
If not,
Absolutely.
don't do it.
You're absolutely right, right? And so many of us have it inside of ourselves, and we just, for some reason, don't move forward with it. But we got to be great at what we do. Take pride in your work and
Absolutely.
set high goals. And if you
Absolutely.
don't make money, you're not going to have a surplus to invest, right? So you got to be successful at what you do.
Okay, so time out. You said something, and I think whether it's Hispanic or Caucasian or African American or
Absolutely.
a whatever, people have an issue with money. They've created negative stories that I believe were passed down from well-meaning parents and uncles and aunts and neighbors, where you know, they see money subconsciously, deeply rooted. I'm talking here as negative.
Yeah.
And my belief, and I would love to hear what your belief is that my belief is just money is just energy. And money is simply a reward for the value that you bring to this planet and to the people of this planet. And you can look at that, whether it's with a celebrity, an athlete, or a business person. The one who brings the most value is always the one who gets compensated the most. And then if you have a good heart and a good mindset, you can do great things with that money to help other people. Would you agree?
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I believe money, more than anything else, is freedom.
Freedom.
Right? Freedom to be able to design our own lives, right? And I think that sometimes people have the wrong mindset because they were maybe around people who had money, but they earned it a bad way, or they did negative things with it, or they had, you know, it sort of compromised their value system. And all of those things are, you know, they happen, but that's not what money's all about.
Mm.
Money is a metric that we use to define the value that we've contributed to our economy. It's a very important metric, and it provides us with a tremendous amount of freedom if we know how to manage it and understand it.
Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome. I'm loving this. What's point number three, Gary?
So point number three, live below your means. Very related to number one, but I think that's especially true for anybody in the real estate business, right? We're in a cyclical business, right? I've been around this business for 25 years, Danny. I've seen this movie a few times. It does end, right? We're in cycles. We always think that this is the run that's never going to end, and it does,
right?
The economy works in cycles, right? At some point, interest rates are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if interest rates go up from 4% to 7%, right? What's that going to happen? What's the impact that's going to have on transactions, on price points, on commissions? A lot of the people around us in the business aren't going to make it through that.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But if you're smart, you've lived below your means, you have a little bit of reserve, you're going to make it through that. Not only are you going to make it through that, you're probably going to have some extra cash to make some investments along the way at a really good price. So living below your means is critical.
And I love that point. And you mentioned something that I think as a result, Gary, of what happened in 2007, 2008, people are still, how can I say this? They're I'll say it this way. We're growing because we're pretty aggressive in our growth.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people are stagnant because they keep thinking about what happened in 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. What do you see for the people out there that are worried or whatever the case may be? What do you see in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. So I do think that there's going to be a slowdown, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to see what we saw in 2007 and 2008. I don't believe. Probably never again. It's one of the good things about the CFPB and the new regulatory environment. Even though it makes it tougher for us to do our business on a daily basis, it's actually created a framework. It's created rules that make it much more tough for companies to abuse the system like it did in 2007 and 2008. So we're going to see a dip. It won't be a profound dip. We won't see foreclosures the way we did before. We won't see job losses and business failures to the same degree. But you will see some of that.
Awesome.
And, you know, I would say if I had to guess, you know, expect it in the next 18 to 24 months.
Okay. 18 to 24 months. Sound good. What is step number four?
So step number four is minimize debt. You know, keep debt as low as possible, right? You know, as a business person, there are variable costs and there are fixed costs, right?
Yeah.
When I'm talking about debt, I'm talking about fixed costs, right? So keep your debt as low as possible. I have a great friend who is a very wealthy individual, and he's a great investor. He's a value investor. He and his family have built a $1 billion fortune, Danny. Billion-dollar fortune.
Wow.
And he talks so passionately about debt, and he describes it as drag. He's a pilot, and he says, debt is just something that slows you down. It holds you back. It limits what you can do. I have another friend that describes it as shackles. It limits your possibilities, limits where you can go. It keeps you very stalemate in terms of your ability to be able to move, adjust the changes in the marketplace, and so forth. So sometimes debt is good. You know, when you're going to buy your first home, you need a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly a great investment to get that house. You can write off the debt and so forth. But people use debt too much. We know credit card debt is bad. We know leases on cars is probably bad. But, you know, there's people who believe strongly that even borrowing money for investments is not a good idea.
The greatest thing I did, Gary, was rip up our credit cards. And I remember living a life where I couldn't see how to not use credit. Like, in other words, I couldn't see my way out.
Right.
Until one day I just decided enough is enough. Actually, I took Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's a great, great class. I recommend to all of our listeners. And that's where Claudia and I literally just ripped them up, and we haven't, I mean, we just don't have any debt at all. Literally not even the one car that, I mean, I could write a check, but you know, whatever the case may be. But I guess the point is, we just do not buy anything not cash anymore, which...
Well, why do we have debt? Why do you get debt? Because you want what you want now. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wait next week, next month, or next year.
That's right? A good point, yeah.
I mean, that's why we get into debt, right? Yeah. We're not patient. We want everything now. We're in a society where it's immediate gratification, right? And so it's mindset again, for sure.
It's funny, Gary. It's funny. You're. You know, this is. And hey, I'm an open book. You know, I'm building a house right now.
I see that.
Yeah. Robert Kiyosaki says that your house is a liability, not an asset. Trust me, I know what he's talking about now, because this thing is like hemorrhaging my cash right now. You know, I've been pretty fortunate to be able to literally, the frame is up and everything, and we've paid it cash up until now. But I'm in that process of saying, you know, I might want to get a loan here just to kind of, you know, get myself in a position where I'm not cutting these massive checks literally every month. It's getting a little much, but I'm proud of the fact that I've paid everything cash so far, and that's been pretty great. Sure. Yeah. Point number five,
invest. In fact, we recommend investing 20% of your gross income in real estate and or stocks, right? And I say investing in other businesses doesn't count. I'm not saying it's bad, but it doesn't count towards that 20%, right? And again, this is something that Hispanics and other people tend to do, especially business people like yourself and myself, right? It's like we make a little bit of extra money, you know, we start thinking, what's the next business I'm going to, you know, invest in? Hmm. And that's okay, right? Especially if it's a business that we understand thoroughly. But sometimes we invest in our brother's new limousine business. Sometimes we invest, you know, in, you know, something like, and the fact is, Danny, we don't have the time or the expertise to make an intelligent decision around an investment like that. We just don't, right? Let's find other ways to take care of our families. Let's find other ways to be able to support our brothers. We need to do that. But we have to be smart when it comes to our investments, right? And real estate is a great investment. It always will be. And the stock market is something that Latinos in particular have, for whatever reason, have underparticipated in. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons we got hit a little extra hard during the housing crisis, right? We didn't have portfolio of assets, right? And so if we just invested in index funds or retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, and so forth, some of the safest investments over time, we would be so much better off. So we got to earmark about 20% of what we make for those types of investments.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Number six.
Yes.
Know your net worth, including the value of your business, Danny. Mm-hmm. And because I always say, you can't improve what you don't measure.
That's right.
Right? So 95% of the people out there have no idea what their net worth is. They have no idea how to calculate their net worth, right?
Do you think it's that high, Gary?
95%. I actually, when I first came out with this, you know Jerry Asensio?
Yeah.
So Jerry has a brokerage up in San Fernando.
Yes.
Great guy, successful guy. He sat down with all of his agents, these are business people, and said, how many of you know your net worth? How many of you have a balance sheet, a personal balance sheet? He said, there's like one out of about 50 people in the room. Mm-hmm. So he sat down with each one of them one at a time and said, we're going to create a balance sheet. We're going to figure out what your net worth is. And you're going to look at it, not every day, but look at it once in a quarter, maybe every 6 months. Keep track of where you stand, right? Keep measuring where you are. It's a great way to kind of make sure that you're still on track in terms of your goals.
Two thoughts for everybody out there, Gary. Number one, good job, Jerry, for doing that for everybody in your office. But number two, I'm going to take it a step further, Gary. And I think for the last 5, 6, 7 years or so, not only do I know my net worth, and not only do I know the value of my business, it's a motivator for me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
How do I increase the value of the company, you know, by X amount? And I've got a target. And these are, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put it to you this way. most of my financial goals are dictated by net worth. Mm. So I would challenge Smart. Everybody, guys. Yeah, this is huge.
So and I'm just waiting for Danny Morrell to go public so I can buy some stock. You.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to happen. But yeah, but that was a big point, Gary, because a lot of people don't know.
They don't know.
And as salespeople, don't ever – salespeople, we do this. We minimize our abilities because we see ourselves as not a business. Your value in your business is in your database, right? Because sure. If you can create a database that feeds you continuous amounts of sales on a yearly basis, that's something that has value. That's something that can be sold.
No doubt.
We're just, Gary, we're so used to living a life within the business that is dictated by going out and making another sale versus right. thinking about the future.
That's right.
So
that's right. The business runs us. We're not running the business.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We need to change that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Number seven, Gary.
Number seven is be politically savvy because public policy works. Now, let me just say this. This does not mean partisan. You know, I honestly don't care if you're Republican or Democrat.
Okay.
You know, but know the issues that affect your business, that affect your community. Know those issues and be active on them. Not be a, you know, an activist. You don't be have to be out there protesting or, you know, even advocating on Capitol Hill. But we, as real estate professionals, are in one of the most regulated businesses out there. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, whether we like it or not, public policy affects our ability to be successful.
Yeah.
So NARUP in particular is an organization that has to be on Capitol Hill, has to be working with policymakers on a regular basis. And we really want our members to know the issues. You know, just think what your business would be like if FHA disappeared tomorrow. Would that impact your business?
Absolutely.
So FHA is a product of public policy. You know, the Congress could say, we're done with that. We don't want to do any more bailouts. We don't want to take any more of that risk. It's not worth it, right? If you can't afford to buy your house on your own, then you know, the government should be helping you,
that's
right?
That's your bet, yeah.
And so we have to continue to make the case that that's not only in the interests of our members, that's in the interest of the country. Mm. And there's people out there, believe it or not, who don't necessarily subscribe to that point of view.
That's, you know, that's a challenging Average. One for me, Gary. And, you know, and obviously we're friends. And so
right.
I'm going to ask you to help me with that one.
Sure.
Because, am I politically savvy? Yeah, I would say so. Am I currently participating as much as I should and raising awareness? Probably not. And when you just described it the way that you just described it, it made me think, whoa, wait a minute, time out here. There's some issues that are going on that really need our help and our support and our voice and our leadership.
It yeah. does. And this isn't something you have to be obsessive about. You don't have right. to spend time on this every day. But you need to spend a little time on this. And you and the people around you need to know what are the issues out there. And if there's an opportunity for you to occasionally send an email or to, you know, make a phone call or make a political donation occasionally, if there's somebody who really is a candidate that is, you know, carrying the water in terms of our issues, we have to be able to do that, right? You know, if we want the things that that matter to us the most to be in the minds of our policymakers, we have to be willing to do that work.
You know, Gary, I gotta say something. I mean, I bite my tongue, but this is one of those times where I kind of don't want to bite my tongue. You know, obviously, as a leader, I'm careful with the message that I relay, not only to my office, my company, our listeners, but also to social media. And this Donald Trump thing really is bugging me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. You know, in our conversations, you know, I'm not like the biggest, like, I am Hispanic, hear me roar. I'm me. I'm a human being. I'm a United Absolutely. States citizen, you know?
Sure.
So it's not a race thing. It's not nothing thing. It's like, it's a being a good human being thing.
Right.
You know? And I am just infuriated at the fact that the public doesn't see that this is an individual who is just not a decent person, a decent human being. And I'm secondly infuriated at the fact that, and I'm a Republican, Gary, by the way, okay, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a Republican.
Sure.
But there's no way on God's green earth I'm gonna make that vote. but I'm also infuriated at the fact that people cannot envision what having a maniac like this guy as the president of our country would do for our country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's terrible. And this is one of those things that if, you know, if he is elected as the Republican candidate, number one, I'm going on air. I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm not. I'm done. I'm Danny Morrell. You know, I'm whatever you want to call that. I just, you know, it's pretty disappointing that we as a country are even considering, let alone the guy is winning, the way he's winning, that we're even considering this guy.
Well, I would say two thoughts on that. And one of them is going to be, you know, a little bit of a jab your way. And that is, if more people, you know, took issue with this, if more people were savvy, to your point, on how somebody like this could actually set back our country, you know, 50 years, a person like that would never be able to evolve into the position that he's in. But here's the second lesson, right? And I think you'll like this one, right? Mm. So why do people pay attention to Donald Trump?
Marketing.
Why? Well, yes, right? But he's got this image of success. He's a billionaire, right? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, Danny. When you acquire $1 billion, and I know that you will at some point, mm-hmm. people are going to listen to you, right. even if you say stupid things. Right. They are, right? So what we need, you know, in our community, what we need amongst people who share our values is we need more successful people.
Yeah.
We need more billionaires. Right. We do. Why not? We need people like that, because when we don't have that, all we have is the Donald Trumps of the world to look, you know, look up to.
Yeah.
And so creating economic, what I describe to be, you know, these, instead, you know, we have all these icons out there, right? Sports figures, actors, whatnot. We need economic icons mm-hmm. in our business, in our community. You know, where is the Mark Zuckerberg of, of our world, right?
Right.
That's what we need. And we're going to create that. And you're creating that right now. That's why I'm so proud of you.
I'm in for that game for sure.
Yeah.
For that game for sure.
Yeah.
So
that's why. That's the two takeaways I have from that. And, you know, we'll see how the chips fall out.
All right, number eight. Let's keep going here.
So you'll love this one, right? Number eight, right? The 430 crew.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Man, it's just about being accountable. It's just about fighting for your dreams. It's about waking up every single day consistently to do what you say you're going to do. It's about keeping your word. It's about having initiative, having goals, having responsibility, fighting for your family. Yeah, it's what it's all about.
And it's about getting your body ready for battle.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So number eight is be physically fit, because wealth without health is meaningless. It's nothing. You have nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I used to be a college athlete. I got lazy for a while, right? I'm back on. You know, my son is, you know, a basketball player in high school, playing varsity, dragging me out in the court again, right? And it really kind of brought that issue home. And I had some people around me. I see what you're doing online. I see what other people are doing, you know, and I love the fact that within the NARAP family in particular, there seems to be this fitness movement, which is really, really cool.
Very and important.
It's not separate from their business. It's part of their business, because it should be. Right. You're creating lifestyle.
Yeah.
Lifestyles inside of your business. Right. These people are looking up to you to coach them, not just on how to close the next transaction.
No.
But into creating a lifestyle for themselves. And fitness has to be a part of it.
Well, it does, Gary, because I mean, just so you know, I went out and I you know, I posted something about this in social media today. The post said, don't use your family as an excuse. Use them as the reason. Because, you know, when we're not committed to being exemplary human beings, we will find so many excuses. So last night, my baby son, he's 6 months, he had a fever. And, you know, I was up basically between 12 and 2 a.m. Well, you know, I wake up at 3:30, 3:40 to be at the gym by 4:30, you know. And I had every reason to not go. And yet I knew I wanted to be present. I wanted to be focused. I wanted the best of me to show up today to meet with you. So I took it a step further, because I don't want to play that game. I don't want to play, oh, my baby was sick, so I'm going to sleep in, because that is BS to me. Yeah. Those are just limiting beliefs. I took it a step further. I not only went to the gym, but I ran 5 miles in the morning. Just to make sure that I was fully invigorated for today. And if our listeners could listen to anything, the way you feel about yourself is critical, because it radiates to other people.
No question.
Other people are infected by that. And when if you're a lender, a title person, a real estate person, and you're sitting in front of somebody else, you know, they're gonna pick the most powerful, most polished, most well-versed, best communicated person with the most integrity that can get the job done, period, end of story. And 9 times out of 10, that's the person that feels amazing about who they are. And that's how all of that attaches to taking care of your body. That was a powerful point, Gary.
You attract what you project.
Yeah.
Right? And you just described what you project out there.
Yeah.
And that's going to attract the business, the people, the assets that you're looking to attract in your life. And
absolutely.
That's absolutely true.
Absolutely. So two more points.
Two more. So number 9 is be generous with people who are less fortunate than yourselves.
Yeah.
Because philanthropy feeds your spirit.
Yeah.
Right? And motivates you. You know, it's funny because, again, I have been mentored around these things by some pretty successful people. And in fact, I have this one particular friend, Foster Stanback. This sounds like an urban legend, Danny. Mm. But his father was Warren Buffett's best man in his wedding. Okay, so that's where he comes from.
Wow.
His dad invested $250,000 in Berkshire Hathaway in 1960.
Oh, done. Done. That is awesome. God bless him, man.
You know how this gentleman spends his day?
How?
Spends his day managing his investments and researching his next philanthropic investment. And that's what he calls them.
Yeah.
Philanthropy investments, right? And so I asked, just as a sort of test, right, I asked 10 people, you know, what do you plan on doing different when you achieve success? Whatever it is that you define as success, financially, you know, however, you know, what, how would your life be different? And, you know, people talk about the places that they're going to go. They talk a lot about spending more time with their family and a lot of good stuff. But nobody ever mentions philanthropy.
Giving back.
Right? Giving back, right? And this guy lives such an incredibly rich life, right? He is so fulfilled. You know, he gets to touch people's lives through his philanthropy. And I just think it's something that's in our DNA and something that we have to aspire to, right? Get ourselves in a position to where we can actually have an impact in the lives of others, right? A positive one. And you're already doing that, but philanthropy is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Gary, you know, I'll tell you, you know, our company is growing in leaps and bounds, I think, because we started with the vision of just of one purpose, and that was making this a place to help people to break through and help people to grow.
Yeah.
So everything I do, every decision I make, even the, you know, the starting of the show, I started the show because I didn't like the fact that the only people that had access to some of these thoughts were the people here in the
company.
Around
you.
Yeah. And I think that there's just a lot more people to help. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, for our listeners, again, don't think to yourself, oh, but I'm a salesperson, so I really can't contribute. No, you're contributing to the lives of your clients every single day.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And if you see yourself in that way, and if you change the purpose from making money to helping as many people as possible, trust me when I say you will live a more fulfilled life, and money will never be an issue ever.
It'll
again.
Never be an issue.
Yeah.
You're absolutely again. Right.
So.
You're absolutely right. Because, you know, especially in our position, we're the trusted advisors.
Yeah.
We're the go-to people for big financial decisions, right? Our role is incredibly important.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity as well.
Absolutely.
So the last one, you touched on it already, which is be active in the lives of our family and our children, right? Because nothing will motivate you more. Familia is central to who we are, right? So success without family, and how many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen successful people with a completely broken family life? They've completely ignored it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one, Gary. Wow. Yeah.
And you got to have it, right? So you got to have these priorities in place.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be centered in who you are. Yeah. You know, you got to make time for the things that really matter in life.
So being centered with who you are, first off, I don't want this to end because I'm having a great, great time right now.
So am I.
You know, but I've got two thoughts, and it's funny. You said something way back at the beginning of our conversation that I want to touch on. But first off, I wanna give a little shout out to my wife. Because talk about somebody who is centered in who she is, and talk about centered in what her beliefs are. I mean, Gary, when we went through what we went through, I don't think we could even buy a gallon of milk. You know, that's how bad it got. And, you know, all around me I saw, you know, people whose spouses were jumping ship. And, you know, and that's unfortunate. And my wife just I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful person. So love you, babe. And for all of you guys, get more beautiful and get more grounded, right? Some of the stuff that the world tells you matter really doesn't matter. And then finally, I'm gonna end the show with this. You know, every week what we do, Gary, is we, on our Facebook page, on Danny Morrell's Facebook page, you can just go to facebook.com/danny.morrell.page. Live while we're on the show, I ask people to post questions. And I'm going to be a little selfish this week, and I've got one question for you.
Sure.
Beginning of the show, you said, I was fortunate enough to have parents that caused me to believe that I could accomplish anything. And as a result, you know, you are a very grounded person. You are a person who, in the midst of all of your success, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard you say anything ego related at all whatsoever. And you're all about contributing and helping other people. I want to dig in because I think that so many of us in our industry are so focused on making sales that we forget about these little things. We forget about the fact that we got these beautiful minds at home that love us, that care for us, that don't want anything but to spend more time with us. What example did your parents leave for you? And how could we all learn from that?
So, you know, I had parents that were present, you know, more than anything else. You know, they were big supporters of anything that I did. I played sports when I was growing up. My dad never missed a game, right? So my parents didn't necessarily have a lot, you know, a lot of material things. We did fine. We were middle class and whatnot. But what they gave me was their time more than anything else, right? And I will be forever grateful about that. And so when my dad told me, you can do anything, I believed it. Because it didn't sound like something that he read in a book. It didn't sound like something that was just an obligatory thing to say to your son, which we're supposed to say to our kids all the time.
Right.
You know, it came from somebody that I knew well, that I was convinced had my best interest in mind, and it convinced me. And that's why I used the word, my parents convinced me that I could do anything. They didn't just tell me that, because you hear that a lot. And so being present is everything. That's why I say be active. I don't say spend time. I say be active in the lives of your family and your children, because nothing will motivate you more. And what's more important than that?
Awesome. Awesome. Can't end the show any better way than that. Gary, I love what you guys are doing. I want more people to go and find out about what you're doing. How do people get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of NAREP? How do they find you guys? And most importantly, tell them about the next conference.
Yeah, so they could find us at NAREP.org, which is okay. Our website. It has contact information. There's a whole list of our chapters around the country there. So we got people all over the country watching this. You can find one, hopefully, that's near you. My email address is Giacosta, G-A-C-O-S-T-A, at NAREP, N-A-H-R-E-P.org. Send me an email if you have any questions. Visit us on Facebook. And in September 18th through the 20th, we will have our national convention in Los Angeles, up the street. We're expecting more than 4,000 people. It's going to be a great convention. It's what we call the ultimate combination of culture and business opportunity. And it's a lot of fun.
And there's some salsa music, I hear.
It's called the NAREP Convention and Latin Music Festival. So there's a lot of salsa.
I think you had me at hello again right there, right? So awesome, Gary. Well, listen, on behalf of everybody, every single one of our listeners, and really on behalf of the entire real estate community, thank you for what you do. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the legacy that you're leaving. Special thanks to your partner, even though he's not here, Ernie Reyes, Eric, for helping you to start this.
No question.
And it was an awesome, awesome time with you. I believe that this show is going to help a lot of people, specifically in the area of finances and wealth aspirations. And so we're forever in gratitude with you for that.
I appreciate it, Danny. And make no mistake, you're incredibly important. We're so proud of you. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. That's it. Episode number 8 is a wrap. It was a powerful one. If you haven't already done so, do us a favor. Go to iTunes and like us, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating, and also actually write a review. That helps us tremendously. And feel free, if you found information valuable that you heard on this show, share with as many people as you possibly can. We'll see you next Monday on next week's episode. And until then, be more, do more, go out and have more. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Awesome.